I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it, because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Headed into this evening and overnight, a cloudy sky, pretty much dominant with occasional showers. We'll head to 41 by early tomorrow. Up part of West Virginia, under the influence of another storm system, so isolated showers still possible. Pretty cloudy on Saturday, too, with a high of 49. Sunday's weather into Easter Sunday, 49 the high, with an 8 and 10 chance of rain. And Monday looks a little soggy, too. We'll finally get back to a semblance of sunshine on Tuesday.
WWNR. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On for a Friday night, a good Friday night, a very peaceful and happy Good Friday to you all. And first things first, how about them ears? Oh, I'm so proud of them. And, you know, with any luck at all, Rick Pitino and those the Louisville guys, maybe they're looking past us. Maybe they're looking at, maybe they were looking at Illinois last night. Maybe, you know, just maybe they still think we're a fluke, that Cinderella just needs to be rat slapped and that'll take care of that. So we'll, a lot of us will have our fingers crossed tomorrow night. And what a joy. Oh, that was just fun last night. I didn't have a spare couch. I didn't have one that I wasn't using, so, but I did have a torn-up old ottoman, so I did go out in the front yard and set that on fire, just to be in solidarity. Nah, I'm kidding. I don't get the fire bug thing. I'm thinking back, you know, I think maybe at one point I saw a couch burn in Sunnyside, but most of that tradition followed after I was gone. The goalpost thing, yeah, because that was actually an ancient tradition that we got backwards. It used to be when you went to Pitt and you beat them at Pitt, you tore their goalpost down. That's the way it was explained to me by the old timers. But at any rate, many congratulations to the Mountaineers and something. Yeah, you know, what do you say about the firebug? Well, it's something I hear my dad say a lot when he sees the shenanigans in the end zone of the football game, or somebody making a tackle who then gets up and dances. Act like you've done it before. Act like you've been there before. I mean, does Duke burn couches in the streets when they win a big game? No, because they win lots of big games. And I suspect the same is probably true for UNC. They win, and Kentucky. They win lots of big games, therefore there is no need to, burn couches in the streets. But that's just me. On another note, we're seeing, I suppose, what will later be known as the sad, incredibly sad end of the Terri Schiavo affair, if you can believe these people, you know, these who say she's fading fast. But all this week that we've talked about Terri Schiavo, there's one thing we haven't talked about, and that is this young man in Red Lake, Minnesota, Jeff Weiss. Now, if you've followed any of the details on young Mr. Weiss, you will know that he had a father who had committed some form of suicide. You know that his mother was in a Terri Schiavo-like condition. You know that he was tormented and pestered and bullied and, what can you say, you know, mistreated by his schoolmates. It's miserable business. And, of course, in the middle of all the hoopla and hootenanny about Terry Schiavo, you got to remember that George Bush had Air Force One fueled and ready to go at our expense so he could fly back in his footy pajamas and sign the ex post facto law that Congress passed in violation of the Constitution of the United States. He did all that, George Bush did. Now, compare that George Bush with the George Bush who could not be brought out of his cave for, what, 2 or 3 days to even say a word about the tsunami victims? And closer to home, compare that with the George Bush who has yet to say a blessed word about the worst school shooting since Columbine, that being what happened this week in Red Lake, Minnesota. A guy who can fly to Washington to sign an ex post facto bill can't even say anything about these pitiful, poor people in Red Lake, Minnesota. These Native Americans. You know, ignorance I can forgive unless it's willful ignorance. Bad manners from the President of the United States, I can't. Okay, all right. Laura and I are sure sorry about them dead engine children. In our culture of life, we hate it any time somebody gets to die before we get to have some Congress on them. And God bless America, 9/11. Okay, is that enough? What do you want when you let them red savages have a gun? Hey, is this thing still on? Yeah, it's still on, George, you punk. Then there's this comment. The fact that Bush preempted his vacation to say something about Ms. Schiavo, and here you have 10 Native people gunned down and he can't take time to speak, is very telling, said David Wilkins, interim chairman of the Department of American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota and a member of the North Carolina-based Lumbee tribe. He has not been real visible in Indian country, said former Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell. He's got a lot of irons in the fire, but this is important. See, that's Ben Nighthorse Campbell trying to provide a little political cover. But Mr. Campbell also noted that even more alarming than Bush's silence about these 10 poor dead people and their families in Red Lake, Minnesota, is the president's proposal to cut $100 million from several Indian programs next year. There's no end to it, is there? And I mention all of this for one reason, and that is another story that sort of dovetailed into the news and was just shot by without a peep. If you notice the life of this young man who went on this killing spree, this bloodfest, his was a hellish life for what of it that he managed to live. And it was a life that was led from pillar to post, and life beat on him hammer and tongs. And he learned hate the hard way. He was messaging Nazi, neo-Nazi internet sites, one of which I had seen in the past because an intrepid listener had sent me the address to it, and it was horrifying. This particular, one of these particular sites traffics in neo-Nazi heavy metal. And in fact, a principal at a high school in West Virginia recently confiscated some of the discs, and the head of the website called and left a threatening and very vulgar message on his answering machine. But the story that you didn't, that no one made a peep about, was the story of from the Raleigh County Board of Education saying, "Don't worry, we aren't going to show that We Are Family Foundation videotape with SpongeBob and Jimmy Neutron and all those other gay cartoon characters. We're not going to show it. So the right-wing nuts don't have to come and pick at our schools, okay? We're not showing the video that tells little children that it's a better idea to just get along than to stomp the snot out of each other. Don't worry, we're not going to show it." Okay? That was the story from, what, 4 days ago, 3 days ago? that the Raleigh County Board of Education won't be showing that We Are Family Foundation video. The one that got that disgusting, sick hellhound James Dobson all up in arms because SpongeBob is a queer. Remember? So do you see where I'm going? Can you see these two little things dovetailing together? By the time he got his grandfather's gun, this young man, this young Mr. Weiss, was already on the fast track to disaster. But it probably wasn't that way when he was in kindergarten or first grade. A time when children are extremely impressionable, and the difference between tolerance and hate can be very broadly painted and impressed upon them. But no, I've said it time and again, and here, the cowardice of the Raleigh County school system was made manifest this week. Don't worry, wingnuts, we're not going to show that video. Please leave us alone. Don't come and threaten us. Because, you see, that's what people like West Virginians for Life and the West Virginia Family Foundation, that's what they are. They're hate groups, okay? The West Virginians for Life and the West Virginia Family Foundation, or whatever that god-awful organization is, would rather see Jeff Weiss's grow up and blow away their schoolmates than teach a little tolerance in kindergarten and first grade. Whether it's the legislature of this state, the governor of this state, individual political subdivisions like school boards, or county commissions, city councils, these groups, these hateful groups, these right-wing the stormtroopers for the culture wars have us by the neck, and I damned well don't like it. And it's time to start fighting them back and recognizing them for what they are. Consider that. Because the Raleigh County Board of Education was so knee-knocking scared of these hate groups, like the Family Foundation, or whatever the name is, they were afraid to show a little video that doesn't say a single word about homosexuality. It just tries to teach children to learn to get along early on so they won't blow each other away a few years later. Oh, I despise these people. Is that the way the normal people think? You normal people listening to this show, is that how you think? Would you rather have your kids grow up and blow each other away in high school than teach them to get along and care about one another when they're in kindergarten and first and second grade? You pick! Because apparently the Raleigh County Board of Education is too damn chicken to stand up to these fascists from the Right to Life movement, the very morally dead, ethically dead Right to Life movement. We've watched it die all week long in Florida. But you pick. Which one do you want? You make the call. Because, you know, you can let them know that you'd rather see the school system teaching tolerance than waiting a few years and carrying your kids out of the building with gunshots through them. Or are you scared of the homosexual agenda? Whatever the hell that is. What do you think? It's up to you. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. This is Head On.
Three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has a brand new 2005 Corollas. Over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a 2005
2005 Camry. Over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Examples 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing. Zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
Celebrate the risen Lord this Easter Sunday, March 27th, at the First Baptist Church of Beckley. Enjoy a free concert featuring Kim and Brian Tabor at the 10:45 a.m. service. The public is welcome and invited to attend. Easter Sunday, March 27th, at the First Baptist Church of Beckley.
If you want to go shopping for the same old stuff, go to Walmart. But if you're looking for antiques, crafts, and collectibles, there's only one place to go. Beaver Creek, loaded with fascinating items. And you won't believe the buys. Come see the Amish Pantry. Discover the excitement of shopping again at Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall. Exit 125 Airport Road off I-64. Also, affordable vendor booth space available. Call 254-9835. 254-9835. It's a shopping experience like no other. Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives. Banks, spoiled, or thrive. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. So, yeah, where was it? Which paper was it today? I can't remember. I think it was the Beckley one, maybe. Some legislator now wants to... he saw the business about the shooting in Minnesota, and now he wants to compel children to wear school uniforms because that will stop school violence. No, see, that's not what it is. I can't find it right now. Maybe you can. School uniforms are not going to stop these murders. Teaching children to get along, however, will. You know, if they want to bring school uniforms into West Virginia and make them mandatory, they damned well better pay for them in the process. That's just deadheaded thinking. The shooting this week had a lot to do with the alienation of a young student who had had a tragic life already, who had been sucked into the neo-Nazi hate machine, the right-wing hate machine. And who had access, of course, to a firearm. I don't care what you think. It boils down to this. That young man doesn't get that firearm. I mean, he might have taken a knife to school and tried to stab a couple of people. He might have taken a ball bat and ball batted a couple of people. But the gun, once again, made the difference. Now, I'm not anti-gun. I am anti-carelessness with guns. Do you see the difference? Because guns are, in many ways, a coward's weapon of choice. If you're going to use a ball bat or a knife or a sword or just about anything else, you've got to get up close and personal. And you've got to do the killing business. With a gun, you pull a little lever 10 feet away, 20 feet away, 30 feet away, somebody dies. It's the difference between maybe one person dying and 10 people dying. No, Bob, guns don't kill children. Children kill children. Sure. And, let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Oh, okay. A blessed Good Friday to you and your family and to John and to Taylor.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, the opening remarks that you made in the program were pretty much on target. And when you think of the fact, there are a couple things I want to ask. First, and these are as they tumble into my mind.
Sure.
Why did Bush have to fly all the way back to Washington to find something that he could have signed in Crawford. Does he have some kind of extra sketch nailed to his desk that he signs all these papers with?
Well, you know, the little short red crayons on his desk in Washington, that's exactly it, Jim.
Well, he had to fire up Air Force One in his pajamas and go up there and sign this thing at the tune of 750,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he could have done the same thing at Crawford, couldn't he?
I don't see why not.
Well, I don't understand why he had to go back to D.C. to do something like that.
I guess they had to have the fresh signature on the bill so that it could be enrolled immediately. They didn't want to waste time. They thought this was going to, you know, this was going to provide immediate relief because of the way they wrote it. Because they told the court what to do. Now, the fact that the court chose not to follow what they told them to do is a different critter.
Well, you know, he's had kind of a hard week this week. Number one, I don't think that he was very wise in ignoring some of the problems that have erupted in this country, particularly the thing with the Indians in that school up there. I mean, and I also, of course, he's not getting his way about Social Security. I think the American people just aren't buying it. And maybe he's just so angry that he's just stomping his little foot.
I think there's some element of that in it, Jim. And add this to it, the Gallup poll, I think, came out last night or this morning, indicates that his approval rating is down to 43%.
Now, is it 43?
43. Well, yeah, 43 for 43. Just as every other time it goes down, look for something to happen. Every time his approval rating plummets, people die.
Huh. And, you know, this business about school uniforms in this state. Well, you know, I went to a college where we all had to wear uniforms, and I can guarantee you one thing. Younger people will find other ways to manifest their own individuality, I can assure you, and some of them aren't too good.
That's very true.
And, you know, clothes are sort of benign and harmless as far as I'm concerned, but when you set their minds into other channels, that's when you better watch out.
But we've got some people with dirty minds, Jim, and you can rest assured that that's a part of it, dirty-mindedness. And the other part of it is
ignorance
and a really broad, ugly authoritarian streak. You know, if we can just get them all marching lockstep, by golly, we'll finally have them under control.
Well, that is only for a brief period of time. In a brief period of space, you know?
Well, for my part, unless they're going to buy the uniforms, I don't care if they pass this. Well, if they do pass this, my kids are going to school in what they've gone to school in all along.
Well, I know they've used this uniform approach in other schools. I wonder how well it's worked there.
It doesn't. They do exactly what you just said, Jim. They manifest their individuality in other manners.
And sometimes that's much more destructive.
Yes.
And what you said about the kindergarten thing and this, that, and the other. Remember that song in South Pacific, You've Got to Be Carefully Taught?
Yes.
To hate other people's eyes are a different shade.
Right.
Remember the lyrics to it?
That it's sketchy, but yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that comes to mind immediately when I heard about the problems up there in the Dakotas or in the northern part of the country, and then in the way that they are teaching children at a very early age that not to get along, but to get up and, you know, later on in high school when they're old enough to hate each other and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, and we have no hate crimes bill. Just mentioning that, going into another subject. You know what I would like to do with these people?
What's that?
I would like to take them all in a theater with in straight jackets and lid locks in their eyes like they did in A Clockwork Orange,
mm-hmm.
and make them watch Torch Song Trilogy.
Yeah, that would work. But no, it wouldn't, Jim, because these people don't care. I mean, the people we're talking about, they do not care. They would rather see schools shot up than run the risk of children learning to get along. Because when children learn to get along, the death grip of these right-wing hate groups like West Virginians for Life, when children learn to get along, they grow into adults who learn to get along, and that spells the end of those hate groups, Jim.
Well, I guess so. They recruit these people who hate and who have these horrible intolerance streaks, and that's how they recruit from their ranks.
Mm-hmm. It's learned behavior.
And they accuse homosexuals of doing the same thing, of recruiting from their ranks.
Well, yeah.
It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Yeah, that's like recruiting white people to be black. You know what I mean? You can't recruit someone to be gay any more than you can recruit someone to be homosexual.
I just don't understand how these people can hold jobs and function in society thinking the way they do. I mean, their thought process, to me, their thought processes are so convoluted.
Well, it's a form of psychosis, Jim. It truly is. I mean, these are people with that personalities that are cloven in two like splitting a peanut.
Well, I guess that old expression, the inmates have taken over the asylum, that's true.
Well, they're trying to, and some legislators in this state have acknowledged that they have. Now the time has come for us to stand up, rat-slap them back down, and rat-slap them back into the little caves and holes and under the nasty little the green slimy rocks that they live under. We got to roll, though, Jim. We're out of time.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, break time, and when we come back, your calls to 252-6200, 800-620-9967, if you would be calling long distance. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
West Virginia, USA, Kristen Morrison is headed to Baltimore today to participate in the Miss USA pageant. The 24-year-old Ripley native is a senior business major at Marshall. Morrison's community service includes working on a fire safety campaign, helping with Big Brothers Big Sisters, volunteering for a reading program, and also helping with Red Cross. She's also involved in raising money for breast cancer research. Berkeley County employees will get raises this year, but only if they attend workplace behavior classes. Commission President Steve Tufall says allegations of workplace harassment, including sexual harassment in the last 90 days, have prompted his proposal, which the commission approved. Last month, two employees of the county's animal control office were fired because of allegations of harassment by a co-worker. Both have filed lawsuits against the commission and their former co-worker, claiming reverse discrimination. A Concord University professor has been charged with battery in an alleged campus incident involving a student. William Offsa remains free on $500 bond after an arraignment on the misdemeanor charge earlier this week. A hearing date has not yet been set. The unidentified student initially made a complaint with the university. The university then conducted an internal investigation. The alleged incident, details of which were not clear today, occurred on October 11th. State police say the victim eventually came to them to complain. The main terminal of the Beckley-Raleigh County Memorial Airport was crowded last night. The people were not looking for a flight, but were there to chat, interact, and to see what the airport has to offer. The airport was the site of this month's Business After Hours meeting, sponsored by the Beckley-Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce. For tonight, partly cloudy. There is a chance of showers, low around 42. Tomorrow, showers likely, mostly in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, high near 50. For Easter Sunday, rain is likely. It'll be cloudy with a high near 50. And then for Monday, a chance of showers and cloudy with a high again, near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. General Motors wants cuts in the United Auto Workers' health care benefits. GM says an across-the-board health care plan that's the same for union members as it is for white-collar employees could save the giant automaker billions of dollars a year. GM salaried employees pay 27% of their total health care bill, while union members pay 7% of theirs. The UAW isn't commenting on GM's intentions. The UAW and GM meet next month for talks about GM's finances. GM covers 1.1 million people in its health care plans at a cost of roughly $5 billion a year.
Bush administration officials have pounced on a recent report from the Social Security trustees that predicts problems in the program starting in 2017. But according to Max Shawicki, an economist for the Economic Policy Institute, the supposed problem with Social Security pales when compared with the budget deficit created by the administration's tax cuts.
The overwhelmingly major factor in deficits currently and in the long term is the tax cuts that have been enacted since 2000.
After crunching the numbers, Shawicki found that the Social Security shortfall could reach 1.37% of the gross domestic product by 2042, while the overall budget deficit shortfall will account for 10.7% of the GDP.
We have to get back the lion's share of the money lost from those tax cuts, because otherwise the government will have trouble paying, not much later, but even in the near future, for Social Security and Medicare.
The Teamsters have fired the top aide, the union president, James Hoffa. Carlos Scalf was fired over $69,000 in improper housing allowances that he received. Teamsters spokesman Brett Caldwell says that Hoffa said that he would review the case and decide on Scalf's future with the Teamsters when the improper housing allowance first came to light, and that is what Hoffa has done.
Union officials representing workers at DuPont are calling a plan by the company to reduce toxic chemicals in their Teflon products too little, too late. Pace International is calling for full disclosure from the company concerning dangers of working with and using products that incorporate a chemical called C8. A judge in West Virginia recently approved a $107 million settlement against DuPont on behalf of residents who had their drinking water allegedly poisoned by the chemical. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. On March 24th, Ireland celebrated the one-year anniversary of its nationwide smoking ban. 70% of the Irish are non-smokers, and government statistics suggest nearly 7,000 gave up the habit since the ban went into effect. The move hasn't negatively impacted businesses, as the price of pubs has continued to rise. Ireland and Norway are the only two European countries that have imposed such a ban, but other nations have been considering it.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
We're back. It's 22 minutes before 8. Sometimes it's kind of pitiful. The picture about the school, or the story about the school uniforms, is above the fold on the Rag Ho Old today. Which, interestingly, I believe is already or soon to be under new management. You've been following that? Or did you even know? No, this is the quote that got all over me. This is from Truman Chafin, Senate Majority Leader. He said, if they'd had a school uniform policy in Minnesota, there might be 10 children alive today because they would have recognized he had a problem. Can I get some help there, John? I mean, I don't get that. They would have recognized he had a problem if only they'd been wearing school uniforms. What? Explain the concept in the mind that conceived it. And frankly, it's blindness to suggest that if you just make everybody dress alike and crack down a little harder and be a little more authoritarian. Well, you see, Senator Chafin, could the gun have had anything to do with it, the access to the gun? No, that gun was innocent. That gun's just a tool. That gun's just an engine of death that was probably propelling slugs of lead through little teenage bodies at what, maybe 1,900 feet per second. What's the muzzle velocity of a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson service round? Police round. how fast does it rip through human flesh? But the gun wasn't the problem. It was the fact that they weren't wearing school uniforms. Oh, Lord, it's little clothes like this that make me just want to eat dirt and run rabbits. If they'd had it, please, somebody help me with this. If they'd had a school uniform policy in Minnesota, there might be 10 children alive today because they would have recognized he had a problem. How would he have manifested the problem? By refusing to wear the uniform? Jim referenced Clockwork Orange a couple of minutes ago. Is that what we're going for here? Well, I had an email from our friend Matt talking about George Bush, and he says, regarding Bush's non-reaction to the Red Lake tragedy, it certainly is not surprising. There is absolutely no political advantage to Bush consoling a grieving Indian community. I'm quite sure Bush has a list of criteria to be met in such situations. Number one, is it politically advantageous? Number two, will it result in funding? Number three, will it result in votes? The answer to all three is an emphatic no. The only good that can come from a presidential statement or visit would be to help the healing of an already decimated people, something of little interest to oil barons, political hacks, and capitalist thugs, of which Bush wears the label of all three. Bush's pathetic politicization of the Schiavo case was a low point in American politics. It is not surprising, though, considering the fact he is near brain dead himself. I'm sure there is an inherent empathy. And that is, of course, spot on, head on all counts. He has not said a blessed word, President Bong Hit hasn't, about what went on in Red Lake. Not a word. Had to be dragged kicking and screaming to the microphones to say anything about the tsunami. And yet he's got the engines gunned and running and ready and fully fueled on Air Force One to go screaming from Crawford back to Washington to sign Terry Schiavo's ex post facto law and then turn around and go back to Crawford. $750,000 an hour to run that plane. That's $3 million if you assume a two-hour flight from Crawford to Washington and back. $3 million it cost you, it cost me, it cost us for him to pander to the mouth-breathing hate groups of the religious right. How do you feel about that? I mean, for my part, it triggers a little bit of nausea. The idea that the American taxpayer dollars would be spent to pander to this group of people who have no more reverence for life than a hog does for a Sunday suit. Where's the right to life group picket or protest or peace rally or whatever it is they think they're doing in Pinellas Park, Florida? Where's their rally in Red Lake, Minnesota? Oh, it's not there, is it? Why isn't it there? You know why it's not there. It's because they are a bunch of rotten, stinking, filthy hypocrites who don't give a damn about life. You know, and then this guy, this monk or friar or abbot or abbey or whatever he is, running around with his bathrobe on down there, running around with the Schindlers. Where's Governor Bush? Why can't George Bush reverence life? Now's the time for reverence and life. God, he makes me sicker than any of them. This man, supposedly of the cloth, on Good Friday. Do you suppose nobody's told him about the 100,000-plus civilians that George Bush showed his reverence for life for in Iraq by slaughtering them? Could that be it? That he's just ignorant and he thinks that Terry Schiavo is the only right-to-life case in America? You know, where's this creep in regard to the other 4,000 people who are suffering through the same decisions every day? It's a big nation. We got a lot of people. And 4,000 people go through it more or less every day. And where's this monk, this friar, this whatever he is? Why, he's down in Florida saying that Jeb Bush needs to go and kidnap Terry Schiavo. Honest to God, he did. I'm not kidding. He thinks Jeb Bush needs to walk right in there and give that woman a ham sandwich. And of course, what is the principal character trait that runs through the Bush family? We've talked about it a lot. The principal character trait that runs through the Bush family is, of course, cowardice. And of course, manifested itself in Jebby today. The whole runaway family. Governor Jebby Bush was scheduled to attend and participate in an outdoor Good Friday service at 12:30 p.m. at Florida State University today. He didn't show. No show, Jeb. He was going to supposedly read from a printed program that included this text entitled The Fifth Station of the Cross. Here's the quote that Jebby was going to read. Lord Jesus, sometimes I don't want to do what is right or to help someone in need, but you want me to respond positively to the needs of others in my life. Help me say yes and be willing to give heroic assistance to all who are in need. And, of course, the church noted, it is clear that Governor Bush canceled his scheduled participation in this Stations of the Cross service out of fear and guilt of seeing supporters of Terry Schiavo pleading for her life. Our prayer for Governor Bush is the same prayer he would have prayed publicly on this Good Friday had he kept his scheduled appointment. Help me to say yes and be willing to give heroic assistance to all who are in need. Where was Jebby? Where's any Bush when there's a little bit of hot water? Taking cover. Do you remember the Robin Hood movie that Kevin Costner was in? And Morgan Freeman played his great big Moorish companion. Do you remember there was a great line from that movie? Did you see it, John? Okay. At one point, Morgan Freeman looks at Kevin Costner as Robin Hood, and he says, "Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you." Guess what? We could say the same thing to the fellow, I suppose, Reverend Patrick Mahoney, referencing Jebby Bush running away from his commitment. Pray louder, Reverend. Your God can't hear you. Jebby Bush had other plans. These people don't understand. All Jebby was in it for was the anointment. Get a little Crisco on the head, talk about how we got to save Terry, and off to the banquet, or the buffet, or the real estate deal, or the golf course, or go see Poppy and Babs. Up to Kennebunkport for the Easter weekend. Anything but sincerity, because there's not a sincere bone in this rotten to the core family's nature or very being. You know, for God's sakes, these poor benighted people expected Jebby to go in and pick Terry Schiavo's 65 pounds up and run with her out of the building and say, "Quick, you know, to the Bat Cave." God, they haven't figured this family out yet. That's not what they do. They don't save lives. They take them. And if you're Jebby's big brother George, you take him $100,000 at a lop. So when the time came to stand up and be counted, Jebby sat down. It's the story of the family. Time came to stand up and be counted for George, and he snuck off into the Texas Air National Guard. How many times have they ducked responsibility? Have they ducked this personal responsibility of which the Republicans are so proud? And for God's sakes, they wanted Jebby to adopt Terry Schiavo. Have they not seen what he did with his last daughter? Have you never seen the mugshot of Noelle Bush strung out of her mind on Xanax and crack? You know, I guess the Schindlers just aren't paying attention, but you really don't want a Bush for a parent. My God, you know, the Bush twins might have come and gotten her and taken her dancing and tequila drinking. Would have been Weekend at Bernie's all over again. I suppose I'm being insensitive. But there is so much rank and rampant hypocrisy in this mess. And no one, I don't hear anyone calling attention to it. Listen to this quote. Congress's desire to get a particular outcome led it to invite the courts to be activist, and the judges have properly refused. Now, that statement was made by Douglas Gmich, K-M-I-E-C. I got no clue. Gmich, a professor of constitutional law at Pepperdine University School of Law. He's a former Justice Department official in the Reagan and first Bush administrations. Congress's desire to get a particular outcome led it to invite the courts to be activist, and the judges have properly refused. And this guy's from Pepperdine University. Pepperdine University. Why does that name strike a chord with me? Pepperdine University School of Law. Is there somebody famous there? Is there a famous lawyer running the show, Pepperdine University? Anyway, Pepperdine University says the federal court was correct to not intervene in the case. Not even fat Tony Scalia, member of Opus Dei, the Roman Catholic equivalent of the Klan, would have anything to do, would sign off on giving life to Terry. Him. You know, and him a conservative. That's three Ks in conservative. What a bunch of sellouts, huh? Of course, we all remember that fat Tony concurred with William Rehnquist in saying that Nancy Cruzan should die back in 1990, don't we? There's no pro-life in these people. That was a con to get their votes. And they are giggling into their champagne even as we speak. The only question is, who's next? What poor soul gets to be tortured for repiglican idiotology once Terry Schiavo dies and is no longer useful to them? Who's next on the for the sellouts? You suppose Rick Santorum standing down there in Pinellas Park with one of those pieces of duct tape over his mouth, you know, the orange duct tape that they're wearing that says, "Life"?
No.
Reckon Tom DeLay's standing down there with duct tape over his mouth, "Life"? How about Bill the Cat Killer Frist? Is he down in Pinellas Park with a piece of orange duct tape on his mouth with "Life" written across it? Hell no, they're not. Their tongues are wagging 90 miles a minute trying to spin their hides out of harm's way amongst the "we been sold" crowd. Because the Republican Party has sold out the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, strychnine-drinking, snake-handling right. Sold them down the river. But that's okay, because they're easily amused and easily motivated, and as soon as they find another dying person, it'll be okay. And they'll flock back there, and they'll be trying to... You know, these sickos have little 10-year-old children getting arrested deliberately, trying to carry water to this woman, and the first sip of it would drown her. What do you think of that? Is any of this bothersome to you? Do you see how it dovetails together? How pro-life is actually pro-death and pro-hate? And they're nothing but sad little shills for a Republican machine that serves nothing but the corporatists? You know, I've tried to point out that these people were being used. I've tried to point out that these people are being taken for well-intentioned fools. And they didn't want to believe it. They wanted to go on in fantasy land. Well, they've taken fantasy land about as far as it will carry them. And, well, the ride's over, the lights are back on, and it's still ugly reality, isn't it? Their leadership is decidedly hateful and mean-spirited and evil and ugly. But there are decent people out there that follow these movements and think that they're actually doing the work of the Lord. And on this Easter weekend, on this Good Friday, they have my sympathy. For they have been led astray by wolves who pretend being shepherds. Now, having learned that they've been led astray, if they don't return, then it becomes their fault and they are willfully ignorant. And if the normal people pay any attention to them, that is almost double damnation. So, you know, take it for what it is. Time for a news update from ABC. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it, because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here is your forecast from the weather.
Weather Channel. Headed into this evening and overnight, a cloudy sky, pretty much dominant with occasional showers. We'll head to 41 by early tomorrow. Up part of West Virginia under the influence of another storm system, so isolated showers still possible. Pretty cloudy on Saturday, too, with a high of 49. Sunday's weather into Easter Sunday, 49 the high, with an 8 and 10 chance of rain. And Monday looks a little soggy, too. We'll finally get back to a semblance of sunshine on Tuesday.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. After 8 o'clock, standing out on the WWNR Verano. The moon skated out from under the clouds for a little bit. And I saw, once you've looked at it this way, I pointed it out to John and he agreed with me. Many ancient peoples didn't see a man in the moon. They saw a rabbit. If it comes out from under the clouds again, have a look. See if you don't see the rabbit too. And see if you can tie that together with the idea of rabbits and Easter. We'll talk about that in a little bit anyway. Now, let's go to the phones. The number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Maggie is with us. Hi, Maggie. You're head on.
Hi, Bob. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I have a question to ask you.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought, Jeb Bush says that he doesn't have authority to order her to live.
That's
her feeding to be... reinserted.
Right, that's his excuse now.
So now listen, why does the governor have the right to spare the life of a criminal if he wants to?
Because that's a function of executive clemency. That's a constitutionally provided prerogative of the chief executive. And, it has to do with the sparing. It goes all the way back to kings and princes. But the ability of the head man to spare someone who has been charged with crime.
Well, I wondered what the difference was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what do you think about Boy George's rating right now?
Oh, it's I wouldn't be surprised if it went even lower than 43%. He got his second term, and he's pushing his second term agenda, Maggie. And like I've said before, I think we've finally seen that he's pulled the rubber mask off and we see who he is. You know, he's not pro-life. He's not for the troops. He's for his corporate buddies, and he always has been, but he managed to snow a lot of people under.
Well, he sure did snow them under, that's for sure. But I think, Bob, that we've had enough of the Bushes now, and I hope that another one don't never enter that White House.
Don't be surprised if he does, because, well... the whole reason Bill Frist, the majority leader from Tennessee in the Senate, the whole reason that he got involved in the Terry Schiavo thing was because Jeb Bush was involved, and they both want to be the Republican nominee for president in 2008.
Well, Jeb Bush said, though, that he wasn't going to run for president.
Come on, Maggie, it came from a Bush. Like, you're going to believe it?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'll pay it, Bob. I like his personality better than I do that other one.
Yeah, but they're both cut from the same cloth.
They come the same way.
They're both George and Barbara's boys.
Yeah.
I mean, they
never worked a day in their life and never intend to.
Nope, and they both came from the same ugly swamp. They're swamp.
Well, that's all I wanted to know, Bob. Is wonder why he couldn't do something about saving that woman.
Okay.
And I really don't think they can do anything now.
No, I don't. I hope the woman passes on in peace, and who knows? Her soul may already be with God.
Well, that man of hers, I don't know.
Well, they've done a good job of demonizing him in the press, but I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's done anything but what a husband should do, and that is stand by his wife in a time of crisis.
Well, he hasn't been there lately, has he?
Yes. I mean, he's been in court a lot. They've dragged him into court. They've dragged him away from her. Yeah, he visits her. Yes, absolutely.
Now, I bet you if I was a betting person, Bob, that there's money involved for that man.
Well,
somewhere along the line, there's an insurance policy.
So far, there has been no proof of any insurance policy, Maggie. A lot of people are trying to ascribe that motive to him without any proof of it. and arguably, let's say that there is. He would have had to have maintained the payments on that insurance policy all these years. You know, because she's still technically alive. So if he maintained the payments, is he not entitled to them? I mean,
well, I don't know, Bob. You have to look at it a dozen different ways, but I don't think he deserves anything because he's went on with his life now. He should leave her alone.
Well, interestingly, Maggie, he went on with his life when the Schindlers told him to.
Well, I had a neighbor that told me her daughter lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And now there was supposed to be $1 million life insurance on her.
No, there was $1 million medical malpractice judgment. And that $1 million medical malpractice judgment has been eaten up by her health care costs. That's why she's on Medicaid now. It doesn't.
Well, it looks to me like that $1 million would have went a long ways toward her care if it would have been handled right, Bob.
Well, consider $1 million, and she's been in the hospital for 15 years. Okay? I don't know about you, but I've got a pretty good idea of what nursing home care costs. And it would be easy to, I think we ran the numbers, in the course of those 15 years, if it was maybe $3,000 to $5,000 a month, there might be $40,000 or $50,000 left of that. Because you see, if there was much at all of that medical malpractice money left, Maggie, Medicaid wouldn't be paying. Because Medicaid won't pay if you have your own funds.
Unless, Bob, that it would be a death claim. Now, you know what I mean. If he had a life insurance on her, she would have to die to get that.
Well, right. But what we're talking about, the $1 million that you're hearing about is the $1 million verdict that was given regarding medical malpractice against her. That's where the $1 million figure comes from. And that was paid out years and years and years ago, and it was set up in a fund for her care, and that care,
that
money's almost gone.
How anybody 24 years old could fall and hurt herself that bad?
Well, it's not the fall, Maggie. It wasn't the fall. She fell down when she had her brain accident. Over the course of 3 years, she went from 250 pounds to approximately 110. Okay, she was drinking on the order of 16 glasses of iced tea a day, and she had there is some belief that she had a rather profound eating disorder, and all of that can mess up your body chemistry very, very badly and bring on things like strokes and heart attacks. It wasn't because she fell down; it was because she had a heart attack or a stroke, and that kind of thing happens to anorexics and bulimics. With fairly regular frequency.
Well, I still say there's a lot of unanswered questions, Bob. You know what I mean. But we'll have to pray for the woman that she can go on in peace.
I think that is the best thing for all concerned.
I do too, Bob.
All right.
You have a nice Easter.
And you have a very happy Easter too,
okay,
Maggie. Thank you,
Bob.
Bye now. All right, 14 minutes after 8 o'clock, it's time for our break. And when we come back, yeah, maybe we'll talk about Easter a little bit. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want somebody, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their free local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, pure love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of United Way Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. Almost 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. This being Good Friday, a little talk about, and you know how I feel about history. I love it. For a holiday that celebrates the resurrection of Christ, it is a little bit odd that we would have rabbits and eggs involved, isn't it? Is there even a single mention in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John about rabbits? Eggs? Not that I can recall. Well, some of this is according to a fellow called the Venerable Bede. We don't really know his name, but he lived from 672 to 735 A.D. In other words, the darkest of the Dark Ages. So, therefore, when we refer to him as a Christian scholar, you've sort of got to take the scholar part with a grain of salt. But it was in his book, De Ratione Temporum, that he said Easter is named after Eostre. And Eostre was the great mother goddess of the Saxon people. And the Saxon people were in northern Europe, and they crossed over to the British Isles, mingled with the Angles and the Jutes. But the Teutonic dawn goddess of fertility was known variously as Ostare, Ostara, Ostern, Eostre, Eostre, Ostur, Eastra, Eastur, Austron, and Ausos. And all of those words derive from the ancient word for spring. And, of course, the oddly enough, all of these are goddesses. They're not male. They are female forms of the divine. Because it has to do with fertility. And it happens the world over. The ancient Greeks had Aphrodite. The Phoenicians had Astarte. The Mycenaeans and the Romans had Demeter. The Egyptians had Hathor, Ishtar, Easter, Ishtar, from Assyria, from the very land that we are demolishing and destroying and causing to run red with blood. Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers, Ishtar. In India, Kali. In Scandinavia, Ostara. Interesting that they would all have the same concept, and that concept even extends to what is now Mexico. And they had, and all of these goddesses were associated with the moon, with spring, with fertility, with the planting of the new crops. Even in Mexico, they had Coyolxauhqui, and she was a moon goddess. And as a result of which, during the spring, every culture, every ancient culture, and they were all tied to the earth, every ancient culture had a major day of religious feasting and celebration right around the time of the vernal equinox, the spring equinox, which happened just last Sunday. Sunday morning about 7:30, I think. That day, there was exactly the same amount of daylight as there is night. You know these things. The Phrygian fertility goddess named Cybele, and this is the really ancient stuff. I mean, this predates the ancient Hebrews. This predates Moses. This predates all of that. Cybele, she had a consort in that pantheon, and that was a god named Attis, A-T-T-I-S. And Attis was believed to have been born via a virgin birth. See, the idea of a virgin birth didn't just start with Christianity and Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter. And he was believed to have died and been resurrected every year. Every year he died and was resurrected. The same thing happens in the northern cultures with the Fisher King. And he died and was resurrected every year, Attis was, between the period of March 22nd to March 25th. And, about 200 B.C., the mystery religions invaded Rome, or came to Rome, or were introduced into Rome. And, oddly enough, the mystery cult of Cybele and her consort, Attis, born of a virgin who died and was resurrected every year, that cult was centered on the Vatican Hill. Remember, there were seven hills in Rome, the Capitoline, the Palatine, etc. Well, one of them was Vatican Hill. And, of course, Attis has other names, Tammuz, Osiris, Dionysus, Orpheus. And he was a god of ever-reviving vegetation. Again, born of a virgin, he died and was reborn annually. And on Black Friday, which would be the day that we're marking today, if we were pagans, that was the day of the death. And on 3 days later, there was a day of rejoicing over Attis's, you know, Dionysus, Osiris, Orpheus's resurrection. So that is where a lot of this comes from. Then again, you know, there's the rabbit. First of all, we know how rabbits procreate, right? They're very, very successful. So naturally, when people looked at that full moon, they saw a rabbit. Interestingly, Astarte, Ishtar, all of these are also associated with Venus, because Venus is the most was the most easily traceable and trackable body in the visible to the naked eye that the ancients could observe, and they observed something very, very fascinating, and that is, well, you know what we consider the star shape, the five-pointed star. That star shape, the reason, you know, because, I mean, if you look at a star, it just twinkles. It doesn't look like it's got 5 points, does it? It just twinkles if you're looking at it with the naked eye. But we began using that five-pointed thing as a representation of a star because that is a map. That is the progress of Venus through its entire cycle over a period of years, and it describes that five-pointed progress. And Venus is Astarte, and Venus is Ishtar, and Venus is Aphrodite. They're all the same deity. Now, how about the eggs? Where do the eggs come in? All the way back to the Egyptians, they buried eggs in their tombs. And the Greeks put eggs on their tombs. There's an old Roman proverb. All life comes from an egg. So it's natural that on a festival that celebrates rebirth and resurrection, an egg. And once upon a time, about the 2nd century AD, eggs were gifted as something precious at this time of year. Poor people, peasants, dyed their eggs with flowers and herbs, while the rich gave each other gifts of eggs that are covered in gold leaf, some jewelry work, beautiful things. In fact, if you pay attention, because you see, the Orthodox and the Roman Church can't agree on when Easter is, and a couple of weeks from now, the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox will have their Easter, and often they have a display of these eggs because it's still very much a living tradition in that faith, and you can see some beautiful stuff. Just absolutely gorgeously decorated eggs. So there's the rabbit, there's the eggs, and there's the whole reason for Easter. How about that? And of course, what happened is, as the church, we have to say what it is, as the church moved into these various cultures and overwhelmed them and committed cultural genocide, they took every holiday that they had, and most people who are tied to the land and tied to the earth have the same holidays. You have a holiday at the winter solstice. You have a holiday at the vernal equinox. You have a holiday at the summer solstice. You have a holiday at the autumnal equinox. And the church, as it committed cultural genocide, it crushed these people's beliefs and instead reinterpreted Jesus onto them. So where people had celebrated the birth, the death and rebirth of Attis or Dionysus or Orpheus or Osiris or Tammuz, well, they said, well, you can still worship the same thing. We'll just call him Jesus now. And the people went, well, okay. Can we still have a party? Oh, yeah, we can still have a party. Cool. I'm Christian. So even though the church did everything in its power to crush these ancient religions and ancient faiths, they managed to keep their symbology alive so that you and I can talk about it today and recognize it for what it really is. And it is ancient. It's not 2,000 years old. It may very well be 20,000 years old. And that makes it almost all the more venerable. There's that word again. Venerable bead. It makes it all the more venerable. So think about that a little bit as you celebrate your Easter weekend. You're not sharing something with people that have only been doing this for 2,000 years. You're participating in rites that have taken place for 20,000 years, or for as long as there have been humans upon the face of the planet who have known how to mark the seasons. That, by Jove, is the brotherhood of man. Well, let's take a break. Bottom of the hour. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. You want to get involved? 252-6200 outside the Beckley. Let us pay the freight. 800-620-9967. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A federal prison camp inmate will spend even more time behind bars after escaping the Beckley facility in a prison vehicle. 58-year-old Harold Lloyd Meadows of Coal City was sentenced yesterday to a total of 18 months for escape and being a felon in possession of ammunition. The U.S. Attorney General's office says Meadows drove away from the federal correction institution in a prison vehicle last April 26th. The state Senate has approved a measure that would make uniforms mandatory in West Virginia schools by the year 2008. The original bill would have allowed school boards to hold hearings to determine if a standard dress code would be imposed. But Senate Majority Leader Truman Chafin introduced an amendment that would require uniforms in just 3 years. West Virginia University today condemned students and fans who celebrated the WVU men's basketball team victory in the NCAA regional. WVU beat Texas Tech, 65-60 last night. moving the Mountaineers to the regional finals for the first time since Jerry West led them to the championship in 1959. But Ken Gray is WVU's vice president for student affairs, and he vows that students who set fires will face sanctions, including expulsion. Lieutenant Bill Trevelyan of the Morgantown Fire Department says street fires were set downtown and in student residential areas. The fires burned trash, couches, one vehicle, and anything else that would burn. Police Chief Philip Scott told WBOY-TV in Clarksburg that even some police vehicles were damaged. Congressman Ray Hall in Beckley Wednesday to talk about highways. On Thursday, Ray Hall was in Hinton. He announced a new business, small business development initiative by the Appalachian Regional Commission to provide broadband technology to 11 counties in West Virginia.
The e-commerce initiative will help to bring the spirit of e-commerce to our Main Street through providing hands-on interactive classes which are designed to help grow small businesses through e-commerce. We are committed to helping our small businesses in southern West Virginia increase their bottom line, develop new sources for revenue, reduce the cost of supplies and services, better serve existing customers, and perhaps most importantly, enter new markets.
The ARC is promising $200,000 in funding for the project. For this evening, partly cloudy, showers, possible thunderstorms tonight with a low near 42. Saturday, showers likely, mostly in the morning, then the afternoon, partly cloudy with temperatures near 50. Then for Easter Sunday, rain is likely with a high on Sunday near 51. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Time for another Gooberhead Award, presented periodically to those in the news who have their tongues going 100 miles an hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today, I've got a whole gaggle of goobers for you, each of them a U.S. Senator. These are the 49 Solons who recently voted to kill an increase in America's minimum wage, which has been stuck at $5.15 an hour since 1996. That comes out to about $10,500 a year for full-time work. Try to make ends meet on that, as millions of Americans now have to do. It's a moral outrage that in the richest country in the history of the world, people working 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, are rewarded with poverty paychecks. This is why Democratic senators offered an increase to $7.25 an hour. That's about $15,000 a year. Hardly the life of Riley, but better. No, shouted the 49 senators, all Republicans. One of these gooberheads, Mike Enzi, even tried imposing his right-wing standard of ideological correctness on this issue. Wages do not cause sales, he intoned. Sales are needed to provide wages. Wages do not cause revenue. Revenue drives wages. How impressive. How wrong. First, what does Enzi think people use to make purchases? Wages, of course. Raise wages of working families, and guess what? Sales go up in local businesses. Second, maybe Enzi has been out of touch with the non-ideological world, but revenues of corporate employers have been going up for years. So why haven't wages? These goobers even tried to use the minimum wage bill as a vehicle to give more tax breaks to their corporate backers, to cut the overtime pay protections of workers, and to ban states from raising the minimum wage for restaurant workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, to be fair, though, the senators aren't entirely against wage increases. They've raised their own pay every year for the last 5 years.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the Lincoln majority. NR.
Hey,
thus comes to a close our little psychobabble interlude. Although it is fascinating to ponder these things. Because when you ponder them, you're doing what human beings have done ever since we came down out of the trees and stopped fighting with the chimpanzees for the stray oranges. Back to the school uniforms, though. apparently, this thing, again, this school uniforms bill went through the Senate like X-lax through a goose. In other words, it looked the same going in as it did coming out. Truman Chafin said, I'm not trying to do something that's adverse to students who might not want it. And yet the bill was, everybody's going to have to wear a school uniform. Is that fair to do to parents? And they did it under the rubric of, if you're poor and can't afford what everyone else is wearing, it's like you have a big tag on you that says, I'm poor. When did we lose our way educationally and start believing that clothes made the kid, so to speak? Do you believe that? Because I don't. I believe the mind makes the kid, and we make the kid's mind in school. Not mind as in behave, but mind as in, you know, that thing they're going to think with. And, listen to this. He said, discipline has been crumbling in public schools for years now, while Catholic and other private schools have maintained order. Huh? What? Do you want to have to go out and shell out money? Because if you think they're gonna make these school uniforms cheap, you're wrong. And it's going to be every bit as expensive to buy school uniforms as it is to buy ordinary clothing. The little white polyester blend Oxford cloth shirt, that's going to cost as much as anything or more. It's probably going to cost more than the T-shirts that kids favor. The little pair of blue slacks you're going to buy your boy, they're going to cost as much or more than any pair of blue jeans. The skirts, the knee socks, they're going to be as much or more. And you're going to have them in volume. You're going to have enough to be clean every day. So that means you're going to need three to five of these things, of every one of them. And you're telling me that's going to be cheaper and fairer to parents and fairer to children? You know, and they were apparently impressed by seeing these, seeing kids in Charleston standing, walking down the sidewalk, all looking exactly alike. That's what we want, isn't it? Children who are exactly alike. You're all different here. I'm not. Let's go back to the phone. Cherie's with us. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm great. Yourself? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy pagan holiday.
Yes, indeed. Happy Aostra. Happy Ishtar. Happy Astarte.
The matter on the school uniforms, I went to a Christian school when I was younger, and we had to have uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, this is back before the Ice Age.
So when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Yeah. And they really did. We brought up fossil fuels from it. But this was back in the 80s, and I only had, like, three uniforms. And, of course, the uniforms, there's the shirt and the socks and everything. But it was about $300 or $400 then for everything that I needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're not going to get stipends from the West Virginia Senate to pay for uniforms, are we?
I work to pay for my uniforms. And the thing about it is those uniforms don't make a difference. The fight is still there. There are girls being mean to girls. There are guys being mean to guys. And the same thing has been around for eons.
No, wait. You got to be wrong, Cherie. You got to be wrong. Because Senator Chafin says that discipline's crumbling in public schools, but the Catholic and other private schools have maintained order.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Are the guys that brought up the Inquisition.
Yeah, right. That would be the same group. That's right.
Oh, that's discipline for you. Maybe I should get an Iron Maiden and shove my kids into it.
Yeah, a little bastinado treatment, you know.
Well, the uniforms aren't the problem. And as far as discipline, well, you know, if they're so worried about discipline, then why don't they make it to where it's feasible for a parent to be at home rather than both parents work.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. That would involve not being hypocrites.
Right. Well, you know, I think Senator Chapin needs to stop watching the little Catholic girls.
That's just wrong. Say what?
They have websites for that.
Oh, stop it.
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's the uniforms have nothing to do with it, and it's going to put more pressure on the children, and it does take away individualism.
Well, yeah. That's what they want. They want little army ants. They don't want little individuals. They don't want little children. They want little, what? Boy, I could probably get myself all Ward Churchill
on that. You don't even want to go there, probably.
Yeah, just march into the meat grinder, shut up, and go on.
Pretty much. It is the wall.
Yeah.
But it's sad that our government is starting to take a lean towards this, and with everything else that's going on. You know, let's see how far we can push the courts, and let's see if we can bring in the military to save one dying person when, you know, there's a multitude out there. That I've worked in hospice, and I've never saw any vigils out any of my patients' doors.
You've worked in hospice?
Yes.
So, theoretically, you've got some level of understanding of what is going on inside that building where Terry Schiavo is?
4 years. 4 years of hospice, yes.
Okay, and you never saw a vigil for any of the dying people?
Well, you know, families would come in. But, you know, the funny thing of it is I heard ministers of every possible sect you could want. You know, this is God's will. This is the way he wants it. Well, you know, that feeding tube's not a part of God's will.
Okay, explain yourself, please.
A lot of times, families who have religious beliefs will have their minister or their priest or their rabbi or whomever come in and be with the family when a person's passing away. That is when the family's there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's that little aside is disturbing in its own right, but go ahead, yeah.
Well, and it's said a lot of times. How many people have been to funerals where people have told you, you know, this was God's will?
Yeah, more times than I care to count.
And, you know, I've had personal experience with that, too. When my sons died, a priest came in and told me, you know, this is God's will. This is just the way that it was meant to be. And now...
Did you hit him upside the head with a brick or anything?
No, actually, they served me split pea soup for my lunch, and I got really dark and mean with them.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be...
in the seventh circle of hell.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
But I find it all really strange with the way that the government is following this linear logic.
Well, again, we got to be honest here, Cherie. It's not like Senator Chafin is some bizarre Republican, okay? He's allegedly a Democrat.
He's a Democrat. I don't care what the politics are. You know, a wolf's a wolf and a sheep is a sheep.
Okay.
And the politics is not what makes the person. Anyone can stand up and say, I'm black, even though they're whiter than a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can say anything. And I've come to the point that, you know, I support the people who support the people who put them in the place that they are now.
Right. I mean, do you think there's some sort of...
I think there's been a lot of deals made.
Well, sure, but I mean, do you think somebody's been out there just emailing the dickens out of Senator Chafin saying, you know, by golly, we got to have school uniforms?
I'm sure.
Or is this something that he cooked up by himself, or is it? I mean, did you see the newspaper today?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, you know, it's on the front page. He said, well, let me get to it again. And this just made me want to scream. If they'd had a school uniform policy in Minnesota, there might be 10 children alive today because they would have recognized he had a problem.
How would you recognize? Okay.
Yeah, did the same thing today.
How would you recognize that he had a problem if he was in a school uniform just like everyone else? If what I've heard is correct, you know, he had Nazi symbols on his clothing.
Yes.
On his books. To me, that kind of screams, you know, they're going along that line of thinking. Now, with the school uniform, what? I don't think swastikas are allowed.
No, but what? They would have recognized it because he would have painted one on his plaid skirt? I mean...
I don't know. I don't know where he came up with that, because that's bizarre.
It smells like pandering to me, Cherie.
Well, you know...
Senator Chaffin's commented that it smells like pandering.
I think it's really easy to use fashion as a concept, but I like black. There are times I dress in black from head to toe.
Are you telling us you're a nun?
No, it's just really slenderizing. it's a nice color, you know, it looks good. But that doesn't make me a Nazi. That doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me goth.
It makes you a person who likes the color black.
It makes me a person who likes the color black, and there's a whole other theory along with that. Might not be a good one. But
there are no pointy hats involved, are there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, just checking.
But it's sad to see. It seems like that here lately, everything has just started going fast forward. The more things that are being pushed through, and a lot of it's, you know, kind of outrageous. And the people have no say in it.
Well, they even the Senate admitted, I mean, it just made it out of the Senate. But they admit that it's going to probably die in the House of Delegates because of the fact that they're making it mandatory for all school children in West Virginia.
I just find it a strange request. And...
Well, I think that because
I evidently I did see the paper. I remember something about him saying that he watched the school children when he was driving through Charleston.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had an epiphany while he was driving?
Yeah.
So that makes it something that's solid enough to be put into a law? I'm really worried.
You have cause to be.
Well, when's that... mental health bill that Bush wanted to pass come through.
and you know, again, this is just another shot across the bow of mountain people are always free.
Right.
You know, when the children of the mountain people have to wear government uniforms to school, that's not free. That's not free by any definition. That's not liberty by any definition I ever learned.
Well, there's an old saying, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
And there's not going to be any free uniforms either, Cherie. I mean,
exactly.
it's coming out of your pocket.
Well, they pound that into you in beginning economics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing free. It's going to be paid for one way or another. And, okay, if I have to buy uniforms for my children, great. Then I get the school system I want.
True.
I'm willing to compromise.
True. Yeah, and well, considering the fact that we're probably going to have to pay back $500 million to the coal industry because they feel like we've done them wrong, I guess there's probably not going to be any clothing vouchers out there either for these, you know, because remember, it's about the poor children. There's the quote, if you're poor and can't afford what everyone else is wearing, it's like you have a big tag on you that says, I'm poor. Well, once they get rid of the clothing vouchers for the poorer classes, well, they're not going to be able to afford the uniforms either, so... then I guess we'll have this agile character standing up and saying, if you're poor and you can't afford the school uniform on you, then it's like having a big tag on you saying, I'm naked.
Well, there's no shame in being poor. There's shame in being demented and lazy.
Yeah.
You know, are these guys telling me that they work every day? I've seen some of the calls, you know, some of the roll calls that they have.
You mean where the room echoes?
Yeah, and they don't even show up.
Right.
And they're... you know, breathing and drawing pay, that's all they're doing. So I'd like to see a better system, and I hope that, you know, other people feel the same way.
Well, these guys, I don't know, I guess maybe they're just so proud of themselves because they bowed down and licked Joe Manchin's boots and passed his insurance bill that they're flush with that victory, they decided that they were going to put the wood to working families with school uniforms, too. These, I swear, some of these guys, Cherie, are out of touch with reality.
Well, you know, when you make deals with the devil, you got to pay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they need to enjoy the time that they're there because the next go around, I don't think they'll be there anymore.
Oh, I don't know. I maybe you're right. But then again, you know what? You know, what happens when you take a senator and he's up against some one of these mouth breathing right wing freak Republicans that you know that hates the fact that you have a womb that they can't control? You know, who are you going to vote for? The incumbent or the womb Nazi?
Hey, you
what
know,
the hell
I'm
kind
not,
of choice is that?
Well, I'm not using my womb anymore. They can have mine.
Now, see, I was a hypothetical. I didn't want to, you took me somewhere I didn't want to go.
Well, I mean, I'll just make them go away. You know, here, take it. I'm not using it anymore. Maybe you can use it. Go have a transplant. You know, they can transplant a brain now, so maybe they can transplant a womb.
No, they're just growing cerebral cortexes,
right?
Right. And Tom DeLay says Terry Schiavo is lucid.
Uh-huh. And how many martinis did he have to launch?
Oh, no, that wasn't martini. That was holy water.
Well, it must have burnt really badly going down.
Sheree, I do appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye now. Now, there's one more thing in this story that you need to be aware of. If you take the Charleston paper, I haven't seen it in the rag ho old. But have you seen the U.S. Chamber of Commerce ads telling us that, we're a hellhole? We're 49th in the nation for judicial fairness based on a survey of multi-million dollar making CEOs and corporate attorneys who have never practiced law in West Virginia. You remember that one? They've run it 3 or 4 times. That's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and of course I took that thing apart piece by piece and bit by bit on this program and showed what a rotten, stinking, dirty lie it was. Of course, it's coming from the Chamber of Commerce. Therefore, by definition, it is a rotten, stinking, dirty lie, because rotten, stinking, dirty lies are what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is in business to do. Okay? Well, here's the fun part. If they'll lie to you on that, you've got an absolute right to ask what else they'll lie to you about. Well, one of the supporters of this uniform bill was good old John Yoder. And he's a Republican from Jefferson County. And he says that the most common denominator of quality schools in the world is standard attire for students. In other words, if we dress all the students the same, they're all Einsteins. They're all just geniuses. That's what he said. And here's the quote: the most common denominator of quality schools in the world is standard attire for students. Who was he quoting? You can see it coming from a mile away. It's like the little puffs off the freight train off in the distance. You see the puffs before you see the train. Who is he quoting? That's right. John Yoder, the Republican, the same guy that hates the fact that you get to sue an insurance company if they screw you over. John Yoder cited a study by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Apparently the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is not just in the business of out there hustling for the insurance companies. They're out there in the business of hustling for, what, Walmart? Because you know that's who's going to sell the uniforms. Saying, oh, your kid will be so much smarter if they just wear a uniform. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe your kid is actually going to become more intelligent by putting on the state uniform? That's just dumb. I mean, it's not wrong-headed. That's not mistaken. That's not a difference of opinion. That's just stupid. Your kids' grades are your kids' grades, hard work will improve grades. New clothing does not do diddly for grades. Are we square on this? Now, Bob Plymail, the education chairman from Wayne County, he heard what Yoder said, and he said, if that's the number one issue we can do for education, maybe the Chamber of Commerce should go back to school. Well, no, see, isn't he nice? Isn't he nice, Senator Plymail? No, if that's the best they can do, the Chamber of Horrors has showed us their true face. The Chamber of Horrors has shown us that, you know, they're in the order, and they're in the order business, because, you know, what the Chamber of Commerce is thinking is, if you can get the kids goose-stepping early enough, if they're goose-stepping in first grade, they'll goose-step in sixth, and if they're goose-stepping in sixth, they'll goose-step in 12th. And then what have you got? They're subservient. They all look alike. And they all know that the most important thing to do is follow the rules, question nothing, obey everything. Haven't we had a society on planet Earth like that in the last 100 years or so? One or two of them at least. You know, where you subjugate your individuality for the good of the state. We've had a couple of those come down the pike, haven't we? Sure we have. Anybody ever seen the pictures of the good little Chinese children going to school? All in the same clothes? All looking identical? What did we used to say about those back in the Cold War? What did we used to say? Well, that's what that communist thinking gets you. We did, didn't we? We said that. That's communism. That's just wrong. That's godless communism. But apparently it's good for West Virginia now. This is wrong. Call your delegates. Tell them this is the dumbest thing since wooden shoes. Tell them this is stupid. Tell them you don't need another thing to spend money on and get gouged over, that you're busy enough buying the gasoline right now. Can you do that? I hope you can. I'm getting a little bit militant with my messages to my representatives. Do it, or I leave your name blank next time. Every one of them. Yeah, and can you imagine how the legislature would change if you just kept a scorecard of how they vote? Because, you see, the corporations do. They keep a scorecard. The NRA keeps a scorecard. God knows West Virginians for life keep a scorecard. What if we keep scorecards and compare them and share them? Sit around having coffee and cake saying, how'd he do on your card? Oh, not so good. How about you? Oh, he stunk. I guess he's out the door. Because then when we start doing that and we realize that we're not getting represented, you know what we do? I mean, we don't have to vote for the Republican right-wing freak. We can find somebody to run against the sucker in the primary and bump him off. And then we'll have somebody who responds to our needs. Conservatism has had its way with West Virginia for over 100 years now. Isn't it about time for a change? It's beginning to happen all over this country. Look at the Senate wasting its time on this stupid uniform bill. Maybe, do you think they might have 15 freaking seconds to consider a minimum wage for the state of West Virginia that's more than $5.15 an hour, since we can't count on that good-for-nothing, godless Republican Congress to do that? Oh, hell no, we got to worry about plaid skirts. Well, sometimes I want to pluck my eyeballs out, dip my head in a bucket of lye, and walk screaming off a cliff. Let's talk about this some more in the next hour. It's time for the news. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, please do.
Property taxes.
Yeah.
I've long argued that if you have to pay a tax on your property, you really don't own it. The state does.
Well, if you don't pay them, the state can darn sure take them away.
Exactly. So, in effect, you really don't own that property. And I don't see how that's what America's all about. I make that argument to people, and they say, well, I can see your point. But I say, well, we should eliminate property taxes then. They say, oh, no, we can't do that. I say, why not? And they say, well, you know, that's what pays for our schools. And I says, well, why couldn't they derive the income for schools from a more legitimate source than from your property? Oh, no, we just can't do that. that's a perfect example of a person, I believe, they've been taught to love their chains.
Well, you know, and I think, for my part, we need to take a look at in this and many at most other states, a look at how we tax property, whether it's personal property or real property. I mean, if you're looking at personal property in the state, Gary, we tax cars and boats and dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but my argument, it's from a philosophical level.
I understand.
That you don't own that property if you have to pay a tax on that year after year.
Yeah, it's like
the state owns it.
It's like some sort of rental.
Oh, exactly. That's what it is. And it burns me up, but I mean, people, they just are just totally unconcerned about it. But they in effect have been taught to love their chains. Another example would be the idea of a driver's license. Well, license in itself denotes privilege.
Well, and if you read the case law in this or any other state, you will find that repeated a million times if you see it once, and you will see it the one time, that, you know, this is almost the exact language. The operation of a motor vehicle in this state is a privilege granted by the state and not a matter of right.
Well, I think we should stand up and tell the government that to travel, which is necessary for survival, is a right.
Well, I think that's acknowledged. You can walk anywhere you can get to.
Well, I mean, you could forfeit a right now. I mean, if you get out there are an unsafe operator, then yes, you could forfeit that right. But even like the idea of licensing motor vehicles,
mm-hmm.
Why should we do that?
It's got a very old and storied and not very pretty history.
You probably know more about it than I do. I'm looking at it from a philosophical level.
I've forgotten most of it, but it had to do with, if I'm not mistaken, early on it was a tax scheme. Yep, by golly, there it is again.
Yeah. Well, it's all the same thing. If you were to talk to people about eliminating the driver's licenses and maybe go just to a simple competency test, which I could agree with, or to eliminate licenses on, cars, boats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, they're going to tell you you're crazy. You just can't do that.
But lest someone who is hearing you for the first time make a mistake, Gary, we understand that government does have to be paid for, right?
Exactly. It has to be paid for. But let's do it from a more legitimate means. Like, I mean, I personally am not against an income tax. I think it's a legitimate means of raising revenue.
Especially if it's done in progressive fashion.
Well, another thing I wanted to bring up with you.
Wait. Don't run off yet. Because,
okay.
I think when we look, you talk about more from a more legitimate source. It's possible, you know, like I said, as far as personality is concerned, we tax cars, boats, and dogs.
Yeah.
And that's a structure that has come down to us virtually from the days of King John, okay? On the other hand, Dr. Bill has talked about the possibility of a personal property tax on the ownership of negotiable equity or equities or securities in the form of stock.
Well, why not? I mean, if we're going to tax other tangible assets, why not tax that?
Well, the fact of the matter is, for instance, Gary, I've heard you many a night fire up that cigarette while we were chatting, and you know, you are being a good West Virginian and supporting the state every time you stoke up.
Yeah.
And you're being a good West Virginian, and you're supporting the state every time you go to the gas station, every time you buy a six-pack of beer, every time you buy a bottle of booze. You notice a trend here?
Well, instead of that, I'll tell you what it's really all about. Instead of just presenting us with one tax bill, say from your paycheck, from your income, they want to split it up into a thousand little parts so we don't notice it.
Well, I think that might be part of it, but doggone it, aren't there? I mean, well, you know, the notion of an equities tax. Aren't there things that we can tax that aren't regressive? Because everything I just mentioned hammers the poor harder than it hammers the people who have more to do with.
Exactly. Which you were talking about progressive tax. Let me just float this by you real quick. I don't want to derail anything here. But how about a flat rate income tax with a personal $50,000 exemption for everybody?
I can't go along with it.
Why not?
I've read too much of the flat tax. It is right. At least as it is currently manifested in the United States, it is right wing hoodoo, Gary.
No, Bob. Now hear me out on this. I said $50,000 personal exemption per person.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've got what? Three kids?
Four.
Four kids plus a wife, My goodness, you'd have to be a millionaire before you even thought about paying taxes.
It's not a bad idea, but it will get screwed up. I promise you. It goes back to what I was saying about campaign finance and passing a law in Congress that says no congressman may accept one thin dime from a corporate donor. We'd have a case in the Supreme Court the next day from some filthy Republican saying, well, the law says one thin dime. It didn't say $1 million.
Some people would say that would be Clintonist almost. But
You know, I can't
1% of the population we know owns 90% of the wealth. Why don't we just let that 1% pay 90% of the taxes?
Well, if you listen to the right wingers, well, that's what they do.
Well, they don't.
No, they don't.
I tell you, pay taxes as the guy that's out there buying two cartons of cigarettes a week and driving 50 miles to work one way.
Yeah.
That's the guy's paying the taxes.
Now, I well remember when my mother, God rest her soul, she'd been a quit smoker for decades, and the cigarette tax went up. She said, well, they had to raise the tax on cigarettes because they need the money. I guess I better start smoking again.
She was joking.
Yeah, she was. But, and wouldn't touch booze to save her life or anything like that. And she said, I'm going to have to start laying around smoking cigarettes and drinking a pint of whiskey every day to keep the state afloat.
It's a travesty the way they pluck us from all these different directions. In fact, you've heard the other taxation called the ability to pluck a goose and get the least amount of response out of it or something to that effect.
Yeah, with the least amount of response from the goose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's about what it is, and I think it's totally and thoroughly dishonest. But again, we've been taught to love our chains, and I think that's really an integral part of any sort of authoritarian system. You have to teach people to love their chains. I believe that's one reason why. People in England love the monarchy. They were just had it beat into them for 1,000 years.
There's a little thing called the Reformation.
Yeah.
They tried constitutional government. And it Cromwell.
Yeah.
And it didn't go. It went over like a Led Zeppelin. And they were more than happy to have the monarch back.
I believe the Kincaids were with Cromwell, weren't they?
Yeah. No. No, I don't think. We weren't in England, for starters.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't he get involved with Bonnie, Prince Charlie, and all that?
I don't think so. Well,
maybe I'm thinking of something.
The second Cromwell. Maybe Stephen, our listener across the pond, can straighten me out.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that the uniforms are going to make my kids make better grades. Because I'm not hearing a lot of my kids come home and they're in second, third, fifth, and 11th grade.
It's just a bunch of stumbling around by people who can't do their job in the first place, and that's a little something they can lean on for a little bit. Say, well, if kids just wore uniforms, they'd learn more.
But they'd
learn more if they were taught better.
But to have the unmitigated gall, and I mean, this is shameful stuff, Gary, to try to profit by this massacre in Minnesota, this heart-rending just wellspring of grief and agony, by coming out and saying that would not have happened if they'd been wearing their good little fascist school uniforms?
Well, I haven't been able to catch a lot of that because I've been working, as you put before, Barbara Mule here the last couple of weeks. But wasn't this guy a devotee of Adolf Hitler?
My God, this kid's life was just hell on earth, Gary. His dad committed suicide in a confrontation with the cops. His mother was in basically a Terry Schiavo condition. And oddly enough, all those right wingers were not up there at her bedside. He was run from pillar to post, one relative's house to another. He wound up at his grandparents' house. His grandfather was a cop. He was ostracized and picked on and treated like crap at school.
Well,
bingo. And like I said, opening the show, you may not have. You said you just got in. I find it incredibly interesting that the Raleigh County Commission has to issue a statement saying we're not going to show that tolerance video. So you right wingers, you please leave us alone, okay? We're scared of you. We're not going to show that SpongeBob video. We'd rather wait a few years and let a kid blow the high school away because he's been taught to hate the queen.
Well, I'm going to say something might shock you, but maybe they got lucky up there. Because, you take a look at Saddam Hussein. They said he grew up under conditions like that, and instead of just murdering 10 people, he killed millions. I mean, that type of treatment can produce a very, very sick, psychotic power-hungry individual.
Yeah, and there were people fostering him along. This one website that deals in white supremacist, right-wing Republican heavy metal music. Yeah, I feel like such a fogey. Yeah, that heavy metal music.
You have good taste in music, bro.
No, thank you. But the thing is, this kid, it did not have to be. This was a Native American community. Okay, these were Chippewa Indians.
But he wasn't Native American, though, was he?
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yes, he was. I mean, now
his last name was Weiss, wasn't it?
Yeah. But
that's why I didn't think he was Native American.
No, he was Native American, and you know he posted on these Nazi websites saying, "I am a Native American Nazi." How do you get there?
I don't know, Bob.
What do you have to do with
being built yet? As far as I know,
I
know quite a bit about this stuff, but I don't know how you get there.
So, and yet, you know, rather than teaching, because it really does scare me for around here, that rather than teaching a couple of rooms full of kindergartners and first graders and showing them a cartoon that's got SpongeBob and Jimmy Neutron and Kim Possible getting along together and being tolerant of each other, not a word about homosexuality in the whole video, but the Raleigh County School Board has to come out and pander, just shamelessly pander to these right-wing mouth-breathing hate mongers and say, please don't torment us. We're not showing that tolerance video. One of these days, your kid's going to come in and blow away a bunch of our kids, but it'll be okay because we didn't show that video with the faggots.
Well, it just makes me mad in hell, Terry. I'm not familiar with this video, and I don't know what's in it, so I can't speak to that.
Well, no, you were.
I'll tell you what, a video is not going to stop stuff like this. This starts in the home.
No, a video is not going to stop it, but that video creates the opportunity for discussion. Because you don't just show it and walk away, you talk about it. And yeah, little 6 and 7 year olds do interact that way. So no, it's not going to stop it, but it is going to start stopping it by providing the opportunity for dialogue.
Well, anytime you got dialogue, that's got to be a good thing, I guess.
You know, but
I can't disagree with you there.
Yeah, but meanwhile, I mean, do you remember a couple of years ago? And you know the video we're talking about, Gary, because this is the video that came out, and Reverend Dobson came out and declared that SpongeBob was a queer.
I thought they were Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell declared that Tinky Winky was a queer.
Oh, okay.
Queer. Okay, but no, that's this controversy. And, yeah,
if you stop to think about it, it's absolutely hilarious.
It is.
Who's Billy Graham going to call that?
Oh, God. Well, you know, we all know about Patrick the Starfish. but do you understand what I'm getting at? No, it's not going to stop it, but the absence of it makes it more likely that it is going to happen. Do you remember a couple of years ago when the Attorney General's office had the program that encouraged kids in high schools not to beat the snot out of each other for being black or tall or short or queer or whatever? And these right-wing knuckle-dragging monsters came out and said, you're taking Jesus out of the schools because you're telling our children not to stomp on the fags. I despise these people, Gary.
Bob, I haven't seen these videos, and I can't say yay or nay.
Well,
I mean, there may be legitimate reasons why people don't want these shown. I can't really talk to you about it. I just don't know.
Well, go see it.
Well, if I've seen it, I could say yes or no to it. But
well, wearefamilyfoundation.org.
Wearefamilyfoundation.org.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, I'll go look it up.
There's not a word about homosexuality in it. It's Jimmy Neutron and SpongeBob and name a few characters, the Kim Possible and all these current popular cartoon characters. And it's just about getting along with each other.
Well, let me float this by you.
Okay.
This might be the one thing that makes you mad.
Nah, not me.
There is the idea of tribe in America has been destroyed.
Yeah,
because it used to be in America, people they identified with certain ethnic groups and things like that, especially if you're white. That's been totally destroyed, and I think there's a reaction against that. Now that hasn't been totally destroyed in other countries because other countries are based on tribe. In fact, almost all European countries are based on those notions. In fact, nations all over the earth are.
You're talking about the idea of homogeneity, of cultural homogeneity.
Yes, but it's an idea of tribe. For example, Germany is about Germans. And England is about the English, and Scotland's about the Scots. I mean,
yeah,
you
but
see
that's
where
a,
I'm coming from?
Yeah, but that,
in America, we're a conglomeration, basically, of every culture on Earth.
Yeah, and the melting pot has worked for a long, long time. But, what you know, that concept is gone in Europe. I mean, Germany's not about the Germans anymore, and Holland's not about the Dutch.
Well, that idea is, I guess it is going by the wayside, but, you know, the Bible speaks to that.
How so?
It says in the last days the Babylonian kingdom would heal. And whereas all the people of the earth were divided.
Oh, Gary, please don't take me to Revelations. Because I know.
I don't even know what part of the Bible that's in, but in fact, it says that in Daniel. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
It says the Babylonian kingdom would begin to heal. Because, see, if you believe this, which I do, at the fall of the Tower of Babel, people were spread all over the earth, and they were given different languages, and at one time they were unified. Now, I'm not asking you to believe that. That's what I believe.
Well, there's another potential analysis to that, but we'll leave it be for the time being. Hey, Gary, I got to roll on. Got another caller, but I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care. Okay, Xenia, you're head on.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
This is my second time around.
Hey,
you guys.
Make yourself at home.
Okay. I'm very, very saddened by what's happening to our young people. And there's really no one thing I feel is the cause. It's everything together, and it just seems like I think the only way we can get back to some sort of decency is to start thinking when we see a child, think of that child as your own.
Right.
Even though in some people's cases they really have to make themselves do that, but you know these are our future, you know, leaders, teachers.
These are the people who are going to be running the world when you and I are gumming our cream corn or eating
exactly
or eating through a tube.
Yes, exactly. I mean, do we want to create a culture of hatred? I don't want to live in a culture like that.
No.
We've seen examples of where that goes, you know.
But how, Xenia, I got to ask you, how do we avoid doing that when you've got people like the Raleigh County Board of Education shamelessly pandering and knuckling under to these hate mongers?
Right, right. And I was on several when my daughter was in school. Thankfully, she's out of school now and doesn't deal with this, but... Yes, the discussions at the Board of Education are so mindless. It's pathetic. You know, they're not listening.
But if the right wing Taliban Christians, so-called, threaten to come in and be mean to them, these people get under their desks like a 1950s duck and cover nuclear drill.
Yeah. What's happened? I mean, where is the leadership? And we ask our, you know, what's wrong with our kids? What's wrong with us? You know, let's start there, because we're teaching our kids how to act.
Well, if we've got time to spend with them, Xenia.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Because we got to remember, mommy and daddy spend most of their time working one job, two jobs, three jobs. Maybe older sister takes care of the kids, or a babysitter takes, or maybe they go to daycare. Because we have these people, the right wing, and God knows the Republicans have created an America where we get to hate ourselves because all we can do anymore is work.
Right.
And we don't have time to give proper instruction to the children the way that was given to us back when it was possible to have mommy at home and daddy out in the workforce.
Right. Maybe we should turn our kids over to them.
They would like that.
Oh, well, maybe not then.
You know, and, you
yeah.
know, they, you know, well, welcome to first period. Today we're going to watch Jerry Falwell. second period is Benny Hinn. Third period is James Dobson. And we will not be teaching you any math or biology or science because that's heathen stuff.
Right. And, there's hatred 101, too.
Yeah.
let's hate everybody but us.
Advance, they're out to get us 202.
Yep.
Oh, God. You understand.
Yes. Well, you know, I have a feeling if Christ came right now and had to go through the school system, they'd crucify him all over again, the very people that are supposed to be his disciples and his followers.
Oh, you could drop him right smack dab in the middle of any mainstream church in Beckley, and he'd just look around and go, never mind, not you guys, see you later. I'm getting out of here before you kill me again.
Yes, exactly. I mean, what? I don't know. And the compassion that they're supposed to be exhibiting, I've not seen it. I mean, I can't think of one instance lately where I've seen compassion that is not based on some, you know, news story or, you know, position in politics or
Right. Well, you know, take, for instance, the fact that this young man in Minnesota, this poor kid, this Jeff Weiss, and yeah, I have tons of sympathy for him because as a liberal, I can manifest sympathy for people who have been tortured.
Yes.
This young man who shot up this school and then turned the gun on himself had a mother who was in a situation very much similar to that of Terry Schiavo. Where on earth were these compassionate Christians?
Right.
I'm sorry, there weren't any TV cameras there. They weren't going to show up.
Exactly.
Is that just me being cynical, or are you on board with that?
That truth is truth, you know. Any way that they want to manipulate it, the truth is the truth, and that's simple, you know. But that didn't help that child, did it?
No.
He needed somebody to turn to, and just like Terry Schiavo, there are hundreds of thousands of kids like him who just need somebody to listen. You know, or to just understand that they've got problems. And, you know, we've been lucky we've not had to deal with the things that our children are dealing with today. I mean, you can't even sleep in your house without somebody coming in and snatching you away.
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean, it's awful. So, I mean, I challenge everybody just to take a look around them and see, you know, there's got to be one child out there that they can help just by, you know, saying hello. I mean, they don't even have to do that much. I don't have to be big brother, big sister. Just hello and
talking,
how are you?
Listening. Yeah, exactly. Not ignoring them.
Right.
You know, in large part, there's a large part of an entire generation that's just being ignored.
Yes. And then you know, we act like they're the enemy. They're us when we were that age.
Yeah.
Know?
And those of us who were fortunate were fortunate because there were people who talked to us and loved us and nurtured, but you know, if we had a story to tell, sat and sometimes just listened.
Right, that's it. I mean, that's sometimes all it takes to make a difference in a person's life. You know, and can we afford not to listen? I mean, really?
No.
I mean, a whole generation could be wiped out with this nonsense. You know.
Exactly.
But well, that was my point.
Well, I sure do. I sure am glad you called and shared it with us.
Well, I hope it'll make a difference somewhere, but we have to keep trying.
If we listen and if we keep talking, things will change.
Well, that's the goal then.
Okay, thank you
so
much.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too.
Thank you.
In all its manifestations.
Okay, thank you.
Bye now. And break time. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Or we may just have to talk about a little something that went down in Ohio. You're going to love this one. Those right-wing guys, they screwed up again. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Miss West Virginia, USA, Kristen Morrison is headed to Baltimore today to participate in the Miss USA pageant. The 24-year-old Ripley native is a senior business major at Marshall. Morrison's community service includes working on a fire safety campaign, helping with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, volunteering for a reading program, and also helping with Red Cross. She's also involved in raising money for breast cancer research. Berkeley County employees will get raises this year, but only if they attend workplace behavior classes. Commission President Steve Tufall says allegations of workplace harassment, including sexual harassment in the last 90 days, have prompted his proposal, which the commission approved. Last month, two employees of the county's animal control office were fired because of allegations of harassment by a co-worker. Both have filed lawsuits against the commission and their former co-worker, claiming reverse discrimination. A Concord University professor has been charged with battery in an alleged campus incident involving a student. William Offsa remains free on $500 bond after an arraignment on the misdemeanor charge earlier this week. A hearing date has not yet been set. The unidentified student initially made a complaint with the university. The university then conducted an internal investigation. The alleged incident, details of which were not clear today, occurred on October 11th. State police say the victim eventually came to them to complain. The main terminal of the Beckley-Raleigh County Memorial Airport was crowded last night. The people were not looking for a flight, but were there to chat, interact, and to see what the airport has to offer. The airport was the site of this month's Business After Hours meeting, sponsored by the Beckley-Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce. For tonight, partly cloudy. There is a chance of showers, low around 42. Tomorrow, showers likely, mostly in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, high near 50. For Easter Sunday, rain is likely. It'll be cloudy with a high near 50. And then for Monday, a chance of showers and cloudy with a high again, near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
There are three things you get at LLS Toyota. Great prices. Big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. LLS Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 tax-free rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 tax-free rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at LNS Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax tag and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
How tough are you? West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Wimps need not apply.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
It's still me. In checking my email during the break, beautiful. Well, what are we talking about? Yeah, let's get in touch with our inner hippie real quick and think about the lyrics to Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Treat your children well. This just in on the email from David. This happened today at a local elementary school. He tells me. We've got a string of Davids now. This is David 3. No insult. We just got to keep track of you guys. This happened today at a local elementary school. It just happens to be a school that Laura Gangbuster Bush. Yeah, she's. Remember, Laura's going to go to South Central and teach all the Hispanic children to not join gangs. This just happens to be a school that Laura Gangbuster Bush visited last year to congratulate them. A Savannah Grove Elementary School student was taken into custody Friday morning after authorities found he had a loaded handgun in his possession at school. Now, for the little right-wing nuts out there, they're repeating their mantra again. Guns don't kill children. Children kill children. Florence County Sheriff's deputies were notified of a potential problem at the school after students told school officials that one of their classmates had a gun at school and had made threats to use it. When deputies arrived to investigate the children's claims, they found a loaded .22 caliber pistol on the student, according to Sheriff Kenny Boone. Boone confirmed that the child is under the age of 13. Well, I guess down south that means they can't execute him. But said he could not provide the student's name. He's a juvenile. And they're still gathering information about the incident, and they're not sure at this point how or where the child got the gun. Ah, come on, guys. You know, this is another failure to teach Latin in the schools. Come on. Whether we like to admit it or not, West Virginia is still the South. And here in the South, we do like our guns. But again, a failure to teach Latin in the schools. Res ipsa loquitur. The thing speaks for itself. The kid got the gun, most likely, from Daddy's collection. I mean, there are other cultures where they collect ancient pottery. They collect art. They collect sculpture, paintings. This is America. We collect engines of death. We collect firearms. And that's and considering, you know, this is a down south story, that's probably where the gun came from, and it won't take much investigating to find out. But considering it is the South, the same thing applies again. Have they shown the tolerance video? Probably not, because some preacher told them it was about the queers. And that if they watch SpongeBob and Jimmy Neutron dancing together, that they might get all queery. Isn't that just dumber than a bag of hammers? Oh. It just... A child carrying a .22 caliber pistol to school. And the gun people are out there saying, well, it's just a .22. That's just a little bitty bullet. No, it's a gun! But Bob, guns don't kill children. Children kill children. And there's somebody out there that's a lifelong member of the NRA saying, that Eddie Eagle program should have come into that school and that child would have known. We can't show the tolerance video. And yet we're surprised when a kid comes to school packing heat because he's going to bump off the kid that got in, that broke line in front of him in front of a slide. This is, no. See, these are red states, you know. The right wing is in charge of these red states. You can't blame it on the liberals. God. They're making the laws. This particular state has two dyed-in-the-wool, good-for-nothing, drawing their breath and their pay from the corporate lobbyists on K Street, senators. They're up to their necks in Republicans. And they got kids carrying guns to school. Where was Columbine? Colorado. Red state. Why did the kid take the gun to school in Minnesota, an arguably blue state? Because he was visiting Nazi websites. Does any of this begin to form a pattern for you? It should. The right wing in this country is hell-bent on the destruction of everything that we hold dear as Americans. And we have got to point them out. I'm grateful for this email. Every time I can share something like this with you, you can see a little bit better what the poison of Republicans and these so-called neo-Confederates. I mean, come on. Don't kid yourself. There's a reason Bush's electoral map looks just like the U.S. before the Civil War. It's the same mindset. States' rights. Unless, of course, you need the federal courts to review Terry Schiavo's case. Yeesh. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. But that's not all. Oh, no! That's not all. Over in Ohio, remember the reason that John Kerry allegedly lost Ohio? It was because they had one of those, we can't be letting the fags get married referendums on the ballot, remember? Sure you do. Well, guess what? It's turned around. Their anti-fag marriage amendment has turned around and bitten them. Not really. Dateline Cleveland. Domestic violence charges cannot be filed against unmarried people because of Ohio's new constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, a judge ruled Wednesday. Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Judge Stuart Friedman changed a felony domestic violence charge against Frederick Burke to a misdemeanor assault charge. How about that? Ohio, the gay marriage ban in Ohio, which is among the nation's broadest, has just gutted Ohio's 25-year-old domestic violence law. Because, see, before the Ohio mouth breathers, before the right wing nuts, before the freaks ran to the polls to protect marriage against the queers, unmarried men who beat up women that they weren't married to but happened to be living with, well, they could be charged with domestic violence because there was a social policy in place that said we don't like for people to beat the snot out of each other when they're in living arrangements together. Not anymore. Thank you, right wing. Gosh, we appreciate it. It's another one of those moments where we believed them. Not we. The decent people didn't believe them. But a lot of people did when they stood up there and said, we're pro-family. We believe the family is the most sacred unit in American society. Well, how are they going to square that now that they have screwed the goose in Ohio and made it and gutted the domestic violence law? Well, that's all right, because you see, that domestic violence law wasn't no good to begin with, because, well, see, people don't have no business living together. That's an assault on marriage. They ought to get married. But if they ain't married, then they can romp on one another. But even if they ain't married, they need to study their flip-floppians and find out where it says women should submit to their wives should submit to their husbands. And I'm reckoning if she'd have been submitting to him, he wouldn't have had to made her submit with the flat end of that old iron skillet. That is the way these right wing obscenities, these people who, like Xenia said, would promptly kill Christ when he returns, if and when. That's the way they are. So now, well, now they'll have to wait around, and women who aren't married to their abusers have no recourse in Ohio. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Dobson. You stinking jerk. Thank you, Jerry Falwell. You miserable woman. What do you say about somebody who argues that Jesus is in favor of enabling domestic violence? What do you say about somebody who argues that Jesus is in favor of enabling men to beat their women? Now, I don't know about you, but back when they were teaching me in the basement of the Baptist church, those sweet little old blue-haired ladies, they taught us about the story about, you know, when he stepped forward and said, those of you who are without sin, cast the first stone. They all kind of went, oh, okay, we'll leave. I was there for that. That tells me that Jesus isn't in favor of whomping on women. But the right wing is. They just proved it. Thank you, guys. Guess you just never mind. It's not in their Bible. I am convinced now, after Terry Schiavo, things like this, the Iraq War that they supported, I am convinced that if you pulled a Bible out of a right-winger's hands and looked in it, every page is blank except for the bloody, gory stuff. Check it and see sometime. Let's go back to the phones. Mel's with us. Hey, Mel, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing there tonight, Bob?
I'm getting through, I reckon.
Sound like Ohio kind of got yourself in the corner, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch.
Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I was going to get just take a couple minutes and tell you real quick on that Senate Bill 418.
Yeah.
I think the way you do business is you try to plead with these people, and when they ignore you, then you make sure that everybody knows the ones that ignored you.
Okay.
Smokey Weeks, our senator here, that's what I call him, Russ.
Russ Weeks-minded?
Yeah, Russ. I knew, I said, I thought you called him something about something else, but yeah, we can thank him. He voted for that Senate Bill 418 to take our due process from us with insurance companies.
Well, if he'd had a chance, he would have voted for it twice.
Well, he probably did. Brother Love over in Fed County, your old man.
Yep.
He betrayed us.
Yep, he put the wood to us.
Mm-hmm. So I hope everybody remembers that, but I think it's worth mentioning real fast to people. And like I said, I don't know where all these guys come from. I know that Randy White over there, he's one of your guys. He voted against it.
Yes, he did.
Which was, I got to give him credit for that.
Right.
Bowman, Chapin, Dempsey, Hunter, the one you mentioned the other night, John Hunter.
Right.
He voted against it. Kessler, Jeffrey,
mm-hmm.
and White. There was 27 votes, yay, 6 no's, and Boley was absent. So like I said, I think that's worth mentioning. I think I'm going to take my $100 that I get back and buy an ad to make sure that everybody knows what Mr. Smokey Weeks done for us over here. I don't know if is Jeff called in there tonight.
No.
I was busy earlier.
No, he hasn't.
Jeff was talking about getting this vote, and for everybody that wants to get these votes, once they hit the floor four vote, you get on that West Virginia Legislature page and mm-hmm. go down to the bottom left-hand corner bulletin board.
Yeah.
And click on whichever house it's in and whatever day, and it'll actually tell you who voted how.
Okay, so you can, because one of the things Jeff was saying was he was having a hard time accessing it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was talking about accessing the website or accessing...
No, the bulletin board.
Oh. Well, I'm never having trouble getting on that bulletin board, but okay. You have to pick the particular day, then you have to the second reading, and then hit the right day, and it tells you that when it was taken up, which reading it was, and all that. But, you know, I talked to Ron Thompson there just a while ago, and I'm absolutely 200% against that. But, you know, the least that they could do is amend the thing to say that the injured person would be made whole once the advocate, the insurance advocate, found out that the insurance company was dealing in bad faith. Instead of them fining them and giving the money to the state, the thing needs to be amended that the person that was injured and dealt with through bad faith, you know, should be made whole before the fine puts any kind of punitive fine on them.
That makes sense to me, Mel.
Well, you know, it does to me too.
You know, the other thing we have to take into account now, though, Mel, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. This, you know, it's out of the Senate now.
Right.
Now they got 2 weeks to try to grease it through the House, and we've got one more chance to stand up and fight.
Well, you're exactly right. Now, Ron Thompson, I don't know if it was just casual talking, but he told me, he said, well, the thing's still got a long way to go before it goes through. So that made me feel a little better. That might have been to pacify me, but like I asked him, I said, you know, I'm dead set against it, and I'm not one to compromise. But, you know, what if you're trying to, get rid of something, these third-party lawsuits, you know, what sense does it make if you find out that they're not dealing fairly, is fining them and the state keeping the money? My Lord, at least take care of the person that's injured and then put a punitive fine that the state can keep against the company.
Right. And
you know,
I'm
not for taking due process, but at least make it halfway fair, you know, compromise a little bit.
Do something that implies that we might be remotely interested in keeping the insurance companies honest.
Exactly right. But, you know, I haven't heard anybody yet, you know, I haven't heard even a conservative say that the insurance commissioner doesn't need to be voted for. I believe everybody's kind of got that consensus now. So
But that takes a constitutional amendment, Mel.
Well.
You know, I mean, I like the idea, But there's no way that you could ramrod a constitutional amendment through the Senate and the House in the time that's left.
Yeah.
I think they threw that idea out there as sort of a red herring for us to say, yeah, that's a good idea. We might tolerate that. And then they quietly just goosed this thing through the Senate.
Well, what's the possibility on Mr. Skaggs down there? I heard that the judge gave him till noon today to for the insurance commissioner to provide them with the papers they requested with the name still on them. So, I mean, is their ultimate goal to show that there was bias in this thing and maybe try to overthrow it? Or?
Well, I think the way that with the thing standing as it does now, Mel, what it means is that hopefully Mr. Skaggs and Mr. Carlin will get the information pursuant to the order, and then they'll be able to use it in the debate in the House.
Oh, okay, good.
Because I mean, I know that there are a number of people that will oppose this in the House, but the thing is that the conservative Democrats, or the Dinos as I like to call them, and the Republicans will try to band together to get this thing through. So,
well,
I mean,
you know what? Like they say, it ain't over till it's over, and the fat lady sings.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to. I heard, I think it was Ed or somebody gave a number last night.
Right.
I'd like to give that one more time.
Please
like
do.
Like I said, I'm not going to give up. That number is 1-877-565-3447. And if people will get off the rears and call down there, I've got a sneaky suspicion. When I called, I asked a lady, are you getting a lot of positive or negative? And she says, we're getting a lot of both. And I got the sneaky feeling they're getting a lot more people like me and you that's speaking up against it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. Like I said, a lot of people care. I don't think there's a payday. You know, they're finding out they can get away with murder and still be put back in down there. So,
well, I'm going to start getting a little bit militant, Mel. I'm going to start telling people, listen, you want my vote, you take me seriously, and you listen to what I have to say.
Well, I think that's what it's all about. That's the way I operate.
I mean, I'll say something right now, right here, Mel. Henceforward, I don't know who's going to run against him, but if he runs again, I will leave Shirley Love's box blank. I will not vote for his Republican opponent, but I will leave his box blank.
Well, you know what? I've kind of known old Shirley for a while. He knows me a little bit. I've rabbit hunted with him several years ago, him and Mr. Elkins, and he's not been, you know, and I grew up with him. I remember Mom and him would talk about him, laugh about him being scared to death on the Saturday night wrestling, you know. And he capitalized on all that, people liking him. But I'm telling you, he's a catbird, and I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
But he is, and anybody would vote for him. Like I said, I'm like you. You know, I see it in black and white. And if you try to reason with them and you see that they're hurting you and your family, my Lord, what are we sending them down there for?
Precisely. Hey, Mel, I appreciate it, but I do have to roll along, all right?
Okay, you and your family have a good Easter, Bob.
And you too, Mel, you too.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now. Jethro, hey.
Yo, Bob, how's it going?
Pretty good. Got a little bit of time left.
Cool. So you went outside and looked at the moon there, did you?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. But you got Venus there down to the left.
We were John and I were talking about that. I said, I'll bet you anything that's Venus.
Right. So, yeah, great. Well, the madness continues.
Yes, it does.
So we've got the shootings. Nobody cares about that, but poor little Terry Schiavo. The thing that gets me that the mainstream public does not know, if you go into the hospital and you have a DNR and you start going down, they just basically watch you go.
Yeah, that's do not resuscitate, not Department of Natural Resources.
Right, do not resuscitate. Yeah. And if they're on the heart monitor and you see them start going down, you just stand there, basically, and somebody watches the monitor, and somebody goes back there and watches the patient, and they call the family members and the doctor, and that's it.
Yeah.
But the unknown thing is, and I had to write a paper on it when I was in my last year of school, the doctor-assisted suicides. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like they're out there with doctors who work and stuff, but, you know, if it's been the family doctor for years and years and you're a personal friend, you're going to make a deal with that doctor. Look, doc, something happens, just, you know, give me a little extra morphine there and I'll just go on out during my sleep.
Yeah.
That is widespread. people don't realize that that goes on, and then they're going to choke over, you know, Ms. Shivo. I don't get it.
Well, I don't. Well, I get it, and so do you, Jethro. There's no honesty here. There's not 10 cents worth of honesty. You know, who prostitutes their children to go and get arrested? I mean, I take my kids to political rallies. I take them to peace rallies. I don't take them anywhere to get arrested.
Yeah. Go get your son. You know, get a picture with him with the cuffs on, getting in the back of the cruiser there.
Yeah.
So the madness continues, and to use that poor woman as a political pawn and trying to make it look like they're, you know, the right wingers are compassionate when they're rattlesnakes.
Yeah, they're all of that in a bag.
I mean, we've even got our right wing component on the head on the chat line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, on our talk list there. We know who the right wingers are.
Sure.
Because they continually come back with this out, you know, with unbelievable, just, you know, madness.
It's madness. It is madness. And with that, happy Easter, Jethro. We got to roll.
Happy Easter, Bob.
Take care. All right, to everybody who's on hold, I apologize. I got a stack on hold, and I can't get to you. We're out of time. Again, a very happy Easter, however you celebrate it, to everyone. And the show tonight, of course, was